Welcome to the He Said.
She Said.
We did it again, the podcast. No, yeah. I set you
You're
right
not
up.
To do that.
I know. I set you right up. It was cheesy. My daughter said we're not allowed to do it anymore, yeah. But I walked you right into Welcome to the He Said.
She Said.
Podcast. We are live, and that's a cheesy opening, but I like being cheesy with you. You know, one of my rules in relationships, actually, is something I've talked about before. And also joining us for the first time, the first guest on He Said, She Said, is Tim and Ginger Drugan. Welcome to the show, y'all.
We're doing a lot!
They're doing a lot, and we've been sitting here for the last 10 minutes just watching you guys be a family, which has been quite entertaining. Yeah. Just on the video itself, which is funny. I placed in the advice that I was going to give, and we walked into it and see if we can bring it back.
Well, we were talking about the cheesy.
Yes, said cheesy. There it is. That was some very, it was probably doesn't mean anything nowadays, but I would probably rip myself apart for this advice. But at the time and giving those videos, I used to say, remember to keep it cheesy.
Yeah. Okay.
Keep it cheesy, because I didn't see if you remember to keep it cheesy. Hey, honey. Hey, sugar. Hey, baby. Hey, if you keep it cheesy, remember to keep it cheesy. It stays. I don't know. I don't. Is anything wrong with that?
No, it's because I didn't say cheesy. I would say keep it interesting. Keep me on my toes. Do dorky stuff. I use the word dorky probably instead of cheesy.
What about you all, Drugan family? Do you keep it cheesy?
I keep it goofy as hell.
Yeah. Goofy. They keep it goofy. All the
time. I think the cop mustache speaks for that, Tim. Yeah, well, I'm having flashbacks to police officers. It's odd.
I don't know. They seem like a couple that can get pretty goofy, cheesy together. I can see it with the kids, everything. That's what's cool about it.
So is it cheesy over there? What goes it? What say at the Drugan family?
Yes.
Yeah. Can we get cheesy over here? Cheesy pizza?
Can I have some pizza, please?
See, that's to some people, right? I wonder, the person watching that, right? The perception of doing that. To me, I go, I want to be that age. Like, I miss going back. I wrote about it in the book. You know that, Tim. I wrote that age right there, right? Where it's just living in the moment, curious and fun, right? It's just, I promise you, he's not worried about next week.
I think it's the silly-hearted part about it that makes you just go, there's nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's why we keep it light-hearted around here a lot of times.
Is that what, for you guys, as a couple, what would you say would be one of the goofy things that the other person sort of shocked them with or made them go, hey, that's why I like that person? I'll give you guys an example while you're thinking about it. Adam climbs trees and
randomly.
Yeah, just silly stuff like that. Or I'll put a box on my head and run around the yard with the dogs.
I will share that
stupid
video.
Stuff like that. Those are kind of the goofy things where you kind of look at them and go, did I marry that? Am I dating that?
Yeah. I will share that video. But proceed, sir.
Tim likes to do random things like pull his pants all the way up. An old man walk around the house like that.
That's what he likes for Halloween.
Oh man, we're getting the visual too. if that is not a biomechanical way to walk around as an old man, Tim.
No, not at all. That's not my goal.
So, and the randomness, now Ginger, as many people may not know, in a few live videos and a few other things, you have been in the background, in the middle of things, doing things, saying things, and now Ginger's been like, oh, Tim's back, well, my wife's home, and she said, right, or she's doing this, Tim and I talk a lot on the phone, right?
Yeah.
And so she's kind of been the background in any of my interactions with Tim, kind of back there.
Yeah. I know that one time we were on the phone and she just slips a page under the door saying, I'm at Whole Foods. And I'm like, okay. You were like, hey, bring Ginger. I was like, apparently not. No, I can't.
Now, you all have been together 20 years, right?
Yeah. There was a part in the middle I told you about, but you know, for the most part, I mean, we used to live together. Even when we were like 13 years old, like, we were living together.
What, at 13?
Damn near, yeah.
Yeah, we had a interesting,
pretty interesting childhood.
Yeah,
go on.
Yeah. I think it wasn't so much really living with her. It was more me sneaking out of the house and sneaking into her window.
Oh.
He was living there.
It did turn into us living together for a round of 15 at her mom's house. But
yeah.
My grandfather's house.
But yeah, we've been together. We've been riding hard for a long time, man. We've had jobs together. We've lived together. You know, we work on all sorts of projects and stuff together.
And go on, tell me more, Phil and Ginger. Please feel free now. The world is watching, so you can say all the truths now.
Show them what's up.
Like, even we used to, like, when we were, like, 16, we used to work at AMC, the movie theater, and then we would take turns. We only had one bike because we were poor, so one of us would get up on the pegs in the back, and then the other one would take the work.
Oh, that's so cute.
Like that. We saved up, and we got our first car.
Yeah.
Oh, so, man, I can see the interaction, the childlike history that's still there between you all, and I guess, you know, you got to ask, right? I mean, so one, I used to do this. I'd love to walk up to like couples, right? That I knew were together since like Moby Dick was a minnow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they're old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm like, so what's the secret? You know, and I'd always ask, you know, what do you know? And what do you know? And it honestly, in the whole research project, it was rather depressing because the answer the gentleman gave me every time did not make me want to stay married for 85 years. You know what I mean? I was kind of like, really? That's what it's going to come to?
Typical.
You know, and so I used to ask that, right? So I would have to ask it here. What's been the secret for 20 years of your relationship?
Our ability to grow together, to change together. We like a lot of the same things, you know. If you're down to do a lot of the same stuff, of course you're going to have a good time together. She's like my best friend, you know, more than anything, beyond, you know, being together. There's that level too. Like we can play video games together. We go on adventures together.
I
play
video games with him.
I'm telling how many video games I play.
Yeah. But we
are. I told you play video games for the rest of the night.
Well, we communicate and if we have an issue with one another, we're straightforward and we're like, yeah, we've been pretty honest with each other. You're acting. I don't like what you're doing, and then we.
That's why I like the tribe so much, because it's like, you know.
Yeah, we try and fix the situation and adjust to.
You guys have kind of moved past the tiptoeing around each other's feelings because you already have that unspoken love where you go, look, bitch, I know you love me, but could you please move on? And that was obviously coming from her to him.
See your shirt, Daddy.
What's your, in the background. Yeah. It's so bright. That's how I knew we were in the background. I could see the
FPOM. So the friendship that it sounded like it was a friendship way before it became anything.
Oh, yeah,
obviously,
yeah.
Being that age, obviously.
She hated me, dude.
No, I did hate him at first. Yeah, I hated his guts.
When I first moved over to the middle school, because she didn't like how I joked around, man.
Oh.
So what'd you do? You joked around too much.
She took it the wrong way. She would be like, this dude, what the hell's wrong with him?
She felt more like you were picking on her instead of just being funny.
Right.
Well, Ginger, what say you rather than all of our opinions?
Yeah, let's stop talking for her.
I was gonna guess too. I was gonna be like, how about well, why don't I just ask Ginger?
Yeah. Just the kids. I'm sorry. Oh yeah, definitely.
As the ordering of the Father has spoken.
I know.
Thus the child has moved.
Well, Tim was, he still is kind of an a-hole. And I
know what that means.
It froze up.
But it's not like, not bad. Like, he's a nice one. But at the time, I didn't take it very well. Like, and as an example, I had broken my middle finger and he'd harassed
only
me. Like, all
time out. Time out.
Uh-oh.
Ginger, that was hilarious. It froze screen up for us for the last like probably 10, 15 seconds. Uh-oh. And it ended with you going, he's an asshole. And then it froze.
We were joking around saying, oh, maybe Tim intentionally had it freeze and it's over.
Yeah, she said Tim did.
That,
Tim
hit the button. They didn't use it.
So now that the listeners know that he's not just an asshole, he's still kind of an asshole, but you were saying.
But he's more of a jokey one, and I took it more like personal. And I, like an example, I broke my middle finger, and he'd like go around the school being like, "Make a fist, make a fist, make a fist," nonstop. But I'd be like,
it was her middle finger.
Yeah.
She's like, "Are you serious right now? Stop talking to me." No, and that wasn't the only thing. You broke your toe too, and you were like hobbling around. I was trying to buy you lunch, and you all pissed off at me
because you hobbled to the thing.
Because I hobbled over to her.
Yeah, hobbling might slow me down.
Yeah, hobbling would do it.
What happened?
We lost connection.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do that.
I will. I don't know
where
that is.
Shit.
I do.
Can you just refresh it?
Why
don't you guys go play or something?
Go play, come on. You guys
just gonna be. Go find something to do for them. You guys are just dancing. I told you not to dance and stuff in front of the camera once we started, but whatever. It's fine. I don't know what it is.
I was just going to say refresh it. I don't think so.
Just try it. So waiting for them to join. Like, I'm in here, but they're gone.
Hmm.
And that was, you know, you were just talking about me being an asshole.
I didn't get to finish. But it's when I was tagged, took it the wrong way. When you say they're redoing it?
And we are live.
Ooh.
Hello.
Hi.
Well, I'm glad it stayed recording, which means we don't have to redo another one. Our internet took a shit. And that's the first, actually, time that's ever happened. And we just kept broadcasting just in case it wasn't us and we were going down with the ship captain and all. But it was our internet that actually blew. So
it looked like, I'm still in here. I was like, well, we lost them, but I'm still in here.
Let me just go ahead and apologize for everything we said about you guys.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Anything that was broadcast by the Drugan family by in no right is associated, linked to, or is affiliated with the Cognitive Rampage or the Residuals LLC. Anything that transpired, we have no clue. So the airtime between us losing and freezing up and Tim being an asshole and us coming back, we cannot control that content.
I was like, she's talking about me being an asshole, and it just ended. And I was like, well, that was everything I learned about. Fantastic.
It happens, man. Sometimes I've been doing this so long now. I've been in deep conversation with some doctor of something, and they go out and I miss them, and I'm like, well. And it's a topic I have no fucking idea what they were saying, honestly. I'm trying to recoup, and I end up just blabbering for another half an hour until maybe they figure it out. But it was us, and we're back, so I appreciate people hanging. And I think you were actually just walking us through, Ginger, is kind of what – I don't know, what moved you beyond the initial perception of what Tim's behavior was? I mean, we're talking kids, right?
Well, we both had similar friends, and then we lived very close to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So basically every day I'd walk home with our one friend, Devin, and then over time we just started hanging out more and more and more. And then I figured out his sense of humor and, realized he wasn't such a bad guy. And it was pretty funny.
And then this one autumn night. in November. We have odd feedback now. There, now we're good. That was strange.
But, Darth Vader showed up for a second there.
Yeah, did you hear the odd feedback on your end when I was speaking? That's funny. I
don't know. It's because our speakers?
Nah, it doesn't matter. What ends up happening anytime I think there's an incident in the sound or something, nothing's actually happening. Yeah. And I've gone back and watched, and I'm like, I'm just sounding like a delusional weirdo.
Yeah, because it'll happen on this end, and when you play it back, it fixes itself.
Yeah, nothing happened.
But, did you miss what she said then?
No, we got to hear her story.
Yeah, we definitely heard that. Yeah. We're still not taking any claim, though, for the first, that 3-minute blackout. Yeah, it was like Anonymous kicked us off, and all of a sudden it was like the Drugen show for a minute, and so we don't know. That I don't know what happened.
The Drugen show. It sounds like it actually exists.
It does, doesn't
it?
Yeah.
You guys should do it.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of Drugens, let me tell you. There's a lot of music.
I think that'd be we should start doing like family name podcasts where it's like, all right, put your family on Front Street, you know, like reality podcasting.
Yeah. Well, there's those other like podcasters that do the games with the families and kind of show, you know, throwing up, doing the things, and there's the family games that you would see at the dinner table. They broadcast that.
Throwing up?
Yeah.
I didn't know where that came in as a family game.
You're from laughing, you're throwing up through your nose and stuff.
Even Tim's lost right now.
I've never seen that happen, but okay.
Yeah. Hey, different table games, different folks, right?
I've seen noodles come out of my son's nose a couple of times, but that's about as far as it went.
Oh, man. I had a whole straw go up my nose when I was a kid. You asked me one day what was one of the dumbest things that I remember doing, and that was the thought that I had. I remember being pulled on a skateboard with a ski rope tied to a bike. And somebody, you make the turn, then you go up the driveway, and we were trying to make it under the driveway or under the under the garage door, but you don't open it all the way, so you try to slip under it. And I was eating and chewing a straw, and it went reverse, and I ate the whole fucking straw.
Oh my gosh.
I set up my nose, but I ate the whole thing.
Oh, you're lucky you didn't die.
Yeah, it was great. And speaking of another freaky straw story, since we're on there, it always matches. You ever have those stories? You talk about something, you have
to
tell the other story?
Leads to the real one.
Yeah, well, no, the other one. This was watching my cousin. Oh, okay. Well, I'll leave my cousin's name out of it. But we were at Wendy's and we were kids, and she was playing around with two straws up her nose, like, aha.
Yeah.
Looked down and the two straws hit the table, jammed up her nose, and just started gushing blood. They were coming out the straw. It was it was horrendous.
That's horrible.
It was horrendous. I don't know how we got on straws. Oh, dumbest shit we ever did. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Dayton Tim. See, I connected all those.
It all comes back.
I told you.
So walk us, though, through the actual, through the relationship story, right? We were kind of doing that. But, you know, kind of walk us, you know, through what it's been like over the 20 years from how it started to you know, what you do now.
Okay. Where were we at? You were saying something.
How I got over my...
She was talking about the bike riding and how you guys shared that experience of growing up together and got jobs, cars, and first things. So it's kind of... She kind of ended at about 16.
Oh, okay.
Well, neither one of us had a very stable family, I guess.
Yeah.
So that's one of the reasons how we connected growing up.
Right.
I lived with my grandparents, and then he was kind of...
I lived with my grandparents before I moved over here. That's how I met her. I moved out of there, and my mom had moved in with, a stepdad.
And just so people can kind of, if you're following along, like I am with a visual, that's a weird thing, a visual setting. Where are we? What's the setting? What's the state? Where are we? Where are you? Not us. But.
Oh, like the state of Illinois?
Okay, Illinois. So we're in Illinois. I'm zapping back. I'm kind of setting the time frame.
We want to know if we want to imagine you in the streets, in the woods.
Yeah, around the streets a lot.
Well, you were in the woods a lot. Barefoot climbing trees and stuff. That was your thing.
Yeah, I would get her out. We'd go out and explore and shit a lot. She more wanted to like hang out at home and sit around and watch TV and stuff. I'm like, no, let's get outside and break some stuff and climb some trees and maybe see some lawn ornaments and stuff.
Yeah, we were we did some bad things.
We ain't like that anymore.
No. You're not out stealing Christmas gnomes or anything. So You know, oftentimes I've, you know, you think about that, right? It's like, I know only a few friends, but very few that have been with the very same person that they kind of grew up with or dated with, you know, and been with, right? And
my brother.
Yeah. So your brother too. So when you, I often look at that and said, well, you know, they, sometimes you look over at, well, what it's like not with them, what it's like with the whole, right? There's no grass is greener, you know?
Yeah.
So oftentimes I would reminisce, right? And look back and go, man, what would it be like to have, although I do have that kind of feeling with you. Like, well, even when I met you, it was like, ah, how you doing?
Hey, good to find
it. Yeah. Where you been? It was weird how we met. It felt like that. It did. It felt like our spirits chilled out in another world once before.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When I met her, man, she didn't like me though. I met her one day, walking down the street home from school. We walked the same way, the same way every day, and I'd bother her every day. I'd be asking people what her name was. I was like, what's her name?
When we were in junior high, I'd have a class, and then he would, like, make faces in the window because he was...
I wasn't even in normal classes, so I could get out of my classes pretty easy. I was in the behavior disorder classes.
You don't say.
I would go...
No offense.
No, it's all good. I would go up and, you know, I'd visit her classroom and whatnot. I'd hang out there. The teacher would let me hang out. Like, all right, Tim, you can hang out over here. Sit down, you know.
Yeah, some of the teachers are really nice and they just let him in the classroom.
They probably started to think he was your pet. I just showed up everywhere, back of the classroom.
I just wouldn't go away. That was mostly what it was. You know, like, well, I'm not going to get rid of him, so I might as well put him to use, you know.
Yeah.
So how old were you guys when you got married?
I remember like 25.
Yeah.
I think we were 25.
Yeah, we waited a long time.
It was a little bit after we had our first son. I think he's 7. So we were about together for about 6 years, marriage-wise. We just did like a small thing. We didn't even really tell very many people. We just went, did it real quick, and we were out.
Yeah.
Like you were saying, Tim, it felt like you were already connected, right? And just kind of followed. Yeah.
We've never really held that, like, oh, we got to get married or something. I was like, you know, you're my life partner. You're my best friend, and that's all I need. That's all I care about. I never had that belief, oh, I got to get married or something. You know, we did it because, you know, taxes and shit like that. Like, be part of the system, you know.
Well, it's
but we already had a bond, like, way beyond that shit.
Well, and then the whole ceremony type of thing, we didn't really want to spend thousands of dollars on something that we thought was a little bit unnecessary. We'd rather put it towards a car or a house
survival.
Or something like that. That was our
viewpoint
towards it.
You did it the way everybody wished they did it?
That's what I was going to say. Everybody else was like, fuck you.
I know. Sorry, you did it the right way, not like me where I fucking spent money on everything but the fun part.
Just look at everybody else and go, I'm gonna go that way.
Well, how about the double one where, like, you did the whole thing, spent the money, all that, but forgot to double check if it was actually the right person?
Right. That, yeah.
You know what I mean? So you got through the whole thing. It was this great thing, and then you're like, oh yeah, I didn't ask that. Wait, do I actually really love you? Part.
Or I realize we haven't spoken the entire time of this planning, but maybe we should get married still.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know too many of those people. I don't run those circles, but I know that happens. You know what I mean? Like. I get you. That does happen. People get like hooked on each other. Then they think, oh, that's it. This is love. I'm doing it right now. We're doing it. You want to get married? Yeah, let's get married. But then they get challenged with something and they can't deal with the challenge. And then they're like, well, I can't deal with this person because I deal with things this way and I deal with things this way. But, you know, we're more collective. Like, let's figure this out together. And that's where the honesty comes in. You've got to be able to, like, communicate with each other.
Yeah, you got, and so many do lose that, right? Communication can be so vague, right? Or saying, like, you know, you got to be open, honest up front, right? So does that mean I walk around every day, every second, telling, you know, the feelings of how I communicate, right? But I think it's saying the harder things, I think, but being able to say those with, you know, even some love behind them. You know what I mean? Not, would you stop fucking doing that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but more of a, you know, when this happens, you know what I mean?
You're pretty good about it as well when you're communicating to throw in the word baby or some kindness where it's like, don't take it the wrong way, but I hate that.
Dude, that's my keep it cheesy rule. Yeah. Look, if it doesn't help, it doesn't always fix everything you're saying, but if you remember to keep it cheesy and add honey or now if they prefer that, now if the gender pronoun perceived is something else that you want, I get it.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to genderify by any use of the word baby or honey toward the female, but or any other gender for that matter. But for me and my life and the chosen one, as I've got permission of how she likes to be called. So thank you very binary much. I'm going to fuck. Oh, man. Yeah. So I try to remember, if you remember to add that, sometimes it's hard to be full on asshole. You know what I mean? If you're just like, you know, something, something, baby, or honey, could you, or sweetheart, if. Now, you can't add it and be a dick where you're like, baby, what the fuck? You know what I mean? You add that, you ruin it. Then you ruin it. You know what I mean? You got to add it with that, honey. And don't be all sarcastic either. We're like, honey, I'm trying not to kill myself right now. But right, you don't want to talk like that either.
That's
you know?
Where I'd be going, let me help you find the plug.
Yeah.
I mean, the evil one came out just now.
No, that was funny because it was evilly funny. You basically said, I'll kill you. And I was kind of like, that has to be an evil laugh.
Let's not slow down the process.
Right. You did skin your own pig last week.
I did do that. And it was very fun.
Yeah, Tim took her on her first real hunt, really. And she acquired her first meat in the sitting in the freezer now.
Gave
the blessing, sent it off. You got to. Man, fishing's good, too. That's the next thing we're doing, too. But, you know, gave it, got the meat. And lo and behold, she's sitting there in the cleaning room, asked first, do you want to? And she's like, yeah. And the guy's like, really? She's like, yeah, I'm going to clean my own shit. You know, I'm going to clean my own damn kill, yeah. And hangs it up. And I got video. I don't post videos of the actual animal or the killer or anything like that because to me it's kind of a disrespectful thing. It too has its spirit. That's why we do a blessing for it, right? We say thank you. We help it cross over. I know other people like, screw you, it's still dead. But from a Native American kind of spiritual animal standpoint, that's what we do. There's something that we do. And that's taken care of. So we don't post those pictures, you know, but there are videos of that where she really did skinned it all the way down all herself. And, you know, it makes me think of those that may say, you know, I don't eat meat or it's murder or some shit like that. Or even the ones that do, but they can't hunt. They call hunting murder or something. But they'll eat the cheeseburger, they eat the steak or whatever it is, or the fish. And you're like, look, this is organic as it gets, motherfucker. You know what I mean? This is a live thing. You know what I mean? This is organic, man. But yet your meat, your hamburger, but hunting is murder, you know, or they're wearing leather shoes even.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's a lack of education. And I don't mean that they have to agree still, but the ones that jump to that conclusion just because of the way that it appears.
Yeah.
You know, the ones that just haven't taken the time to either experience it themselves or to research it.
What's y'all's favorite thing to do together?
Oh, man. Fuck everything.
I was going to
say fuck and everything.
Yeah, you
I was
did.
Like, well, they do have three kids.
Everything.
And I'm like, well, that wasn't a secret. Tell us something new.
Watch. When I go back and play this video, I'm going to roll that part through slow motion. Yeah. You watch Ginger's face as she hears the word, well, what do you like to do for me? And then out of Tim, it goes, well, fuck. And you watch the quick little response.
Silent.
Next to fuck and everything.
At least he did put the word and in there. If you didn't put and in there, that would have been really bad. Fuck everything.
That's what we like to do together. Fuck everything.
You know, we like to get out to the outdoors a lot still. You know, we got this woodland place over here we go to quite often. I take her to some places I used to go to as a kid, things like that. You know,
we go to a lot of horse hunters.
When it's cold out, like now this time of year, we'll watch some anime, stay inside, play some video games, hang out, relax, you know.
Yeah, what is it, negative 20 there now?
Summertime, we're outside all the time.
Did you just say it was, Ginger?
It was negative.
I was totally fucking kidding.
It was about
20 winter. Oh, yeah, Illinois.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's and right, it, up in Illinois, it's been record freezing. Yeah,
my best friend lives in Chicago. Caitlin, hello.
It's like 30 today, and we're like, it's so warm.
I was out there, man. I had to do a route, and I was out there for about 10 hours, and my truck didn't have heat, so I was out there about 10 hours in negative 10 degrees. It was pretty brutal.
Whoa, there's some cryotherapy.
Can you imagine Wim Hofing all day long?
Oh my God, I would be fainting every 2 seconds.
Here's your package, ma'am.
Here's your package. Oh, stay warm, sir. Oh, yeah, no problem. Doing it.
We're like, I think the UPS guy was in labor.
Yeah, right. don't know what's wrong with him. Maybe he's having cramps.
Shit. But fuck, 10 hours riding around in 30 degrees. Because you guys, no doors or nothing. You just got the little slide metal rectangle thing you're in.
Yeah. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes they open while you're driving. That happens. I've been
Don't tell me you're still the rebel rocking the UPS shorts in that 30 degrees, are you?
Once in a while.
No, he's going like this. I wish I had. Dang it.
This year, I really took off because I was like, it takes a lot of energy. You know what I mean? Like, I could do it, but it burns through your energy. So I'm like, fuck this. Like, I can do it, but why? Yeah. I'd rather just say one. So this I don't even do it anymore. I could go outside and walk barefoot in the snow all our lawn and stuff, you know what I mean? But it's to a degree, so I'm not pushing it.
Yeah.
Dang. Yeah. He was working a lot. It was like 6 days and 70 hours a week. It was very intense for the seasonal peak, is what they call it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but she helps me with a lot, man. She takes care of me real well. So that's another thing we like to do together. Take care of each other.
Yeah.
There's a great slogan. I hope you're taking care of you and each other.
You guys seem like the type of couple that enjoys and can do nothing together.
Oh yeah. You gotta be. That's something you definitely. I think it's determined.
No, where you don't have to do anything to have fun.
I say that about a lot of people. You should know how to be together in silence with somebody. You know what I mean? For many reasons. You know, maybe somebody lost somebody and they just don't want to talk yet. You just need to chill with them or whatnot. But especially for a relationship, I think, you know, sometimes there's nothing to do. What do? Let's just lay in bed together. Keep each other. What else are you going to do?
Talk about random stuff.
But... Reminisce.
Yeah.
Have a beer together.
That's some of my favorite times too, is generally a Saturday or Sunday. Sometimes, we wake up in the morning. It's, I really only ask for coffee in the morning. That's all. And I do a lot too. But those weekends when we do sit out there, you know, and her and I hang out on the porch and we'll just talk like Ginger just said, we'll talk randomly about the most random topics where it comes in from something. And we may look at a phone or be listening to a podcast or have, something where it just sparks something. And sometimes we just sit there and then it's off to the races. And we're like, is it fucking 2 o'clock? You know what I mean? On Saturday, we're like, what the? A pot of coffee later, you know, and some chatting. And I like you guys said, that's some of my random fun. Like if it's just fun because you don't really expect that, the conversation, then you're like, fuck, we'll do the chores tomorrow. You know what I mean? We'll take care of that shit tomorrow.
Usually the things that don't cost money are the ones that are the most fun. You know what I mean? Where you actually have to communicate or spend more quality time, you know, where it's not about the event. It's just about what you're doing.
I'm going to just put this out there. I think maybe too many dudes are too busy just trying to look for something they like to fuck.
Yeah.
I'm just being straightforward.
Yeah.
All right. Is they're really looking for something they strictly just like to fuck all the time.
Well, women do that too.
Which, mind you, it's over 60, 70, 80 years. Unless you have the other, that goes away.
Yeah.
So no matter how good the fucking is, if you don't have the friendship and the hanging, but if you don't have that too, eventually that fucking goes away because it transforms over time. It evolves into different, right? I used to say there's fucking, then there's making love. Then there's like the crossover of it, you know? And, you know, I think a lot of dudes for, I don't know, man. And look, I'm generalizing. I know I'm GUing like a motherfucker, but it's hard not to see to where it's really led with what the eyes find pleasing. And a lot of times what they find to be attractive in their life really has been told to them anyway.
Yeah, they haven't figured it out on
them. Right.
Yeah.
So they end up suppressing what they're really attracted to by going after what they think they're supposed to be attracted to or be with, right? Mm-hmm. Chasing those eyes instead of maybe the couple mistakes down the line, right? And then you really start to look past that. But I think at least at a younger age, right, looking around, you kind of start with that, thinking that that's going to be the next 30 years, the 10 years. That's what's going to key it in. The fact that I actually want to have sex with this person all the time as much as, right? It's kind of gauged on that. And I think people miss out and so-called make wrong choices, right? And people end up being assholes to people that aren't really assholes and trying to get past that. And I don't know, man. And I don't know. I've said it enough. I'm done looking at trying to understand love from a rational fucking perspective.
Right.
I've quit. I'm done. Love is irrational as fuck. So I look.
I'm glad to hear you're giving up. That sounds so finished.
No, I'm finished with the idea of trying to make it rational.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Right. Of trying to make it rational because, one, there wouldn't be 6 million books on the fucking thing. Yeah. On love or what it means or relationships, et cetera, you know. But to try to take a concept such as love and make it a rational, you know, domino effect, cause and effect thing, good fucking luck. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Between the Freudian suppressing issues and the fucking environments and the social culture curating what you're supposed to be with. But good fucking luck.
That's what they're kind of doing, what it's you like. Know? This, you go on this couple of dates, oh, we love each other, we get married, we do this, we do that. You're on the fucking treadmill. You ain't doing nothing different. You're being told how to fucking be
in love. It's that pressure of, okay, well, why does there have to be a next stage?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What's the fucking, why the stage? I'm with you, yeah. I'm here, I don't want to be around any.
A lot of times we just notice we're at a different stage. We're like, oh, shit, we're here.
Yeah.
We made it. What are we doing?
Well, let's be real. The stage signifies acquiring debt. That's what that means. So I'm ready to move into the next stage of our lives. Here's what you're saying. I'm ready to take on massive amounts of more debt. That's what that means. I'm ready to spend 20 grand on a wedding we can't afford. Hopefully your dad will pay for half of it. Fight with us along the way. Argue about how much money we could have spent on the honeymoon if we just had and saved it, right? And it becomes acquisition. Well, I think it's time to move to the next stage and have a kid. Cha-ching. I think it's time to move to the next stage and buy a house. Cha-ching. It's all debt. Well, you can't say that to a motherfucker, right? That's why you got to say, I think it's time we move to the next stage.
I'm in so much love. I'll deal with that debt. You know, that's it. I'll just deal with it.
Yeah, it's the lock-in, man. I don't know how much it does affect, right? The idea that this is what the typical argument, right? Here's what he said on this side. Here's your general typical he said comment is that getting married, right? You spend the money on the honeymoon of the thing, and then the idea that I can't leave if I want to. This is what the guy, I've heard women say it too, is where they go, well, once you put the ring on and you live in the same place, then you know you can't leave. So once you're not married, then you know that they could always leave or you could always leave. So there's kind of this standoff of like, we'll know how far we're willing to go because it's a couple packs and the person's gone. And really, the marriage means that you can't leave. And once that sets in, the bitterness begins.
Yeah, yeah, it's been given the seriousness of you really mean it since we're married.
Yeah, right. You know? And no,
you didn't really mean it before. But now that we're married, that you signed that one paper that is, you really mean it now. Thank
right,
you.
Right, yeah.
We'll be together forever now.
50% chance.
Yeah.
Right? Do you take an umbrella if it's 50-50 chance of showers outside when you go to work?
Me?
Yep.
On me.
Right. I just mean for the most part. How about this? Do you walk across the glass bridge over the Grand Canyon with a 50-50 shot at brakes?
No.
Right.
I would not do that.
Tim, will you marry me?
Yeah.
You see? You just took the same motherfucking risk. That is the same chances you got.
I got trapped.
Right, this is
you
the same.
You sort of did a Chappelle action there, where you saw the pop line before.
Yeah, I gave you the punchline before I gave you the joke. Yeah, I mean, but this is the real truth, man. This is the
Yeah,
did you see that new Chappelle one?
Oh, it's fucking great.
Yeah, that's why I was talking about that. Only I really fucked it up and said the pop line.
Yeah, the pop line. That shit was fucking great. From just a written standpoint, the way that show is constructed, the way he delivers it. I mean, if there's an ever drop the mic performance for Chappelle to really walk off,
yeah,
that was it.
Yeah. I was like,
oh. Yeah.
That's why you see Cat Williams is coming out with another one too. And he's been around for a while. I think they left for similar reasons. Whatever's going on, whatever they keep hinting at, they're both coming back.
Yeah, Cat Williams is so difficult to watch just from watching him sweat so much. I'm like, what is he doing? His hair.
That's true. That's true. That's Well, I think, you know, like he, like Chappelle said in the thing, that you can't say anything anymore. And there's something that's still fucking ringing in my head, echoing that Chappelle said. I don't know how many nights ago we watched that. 4 or 5 nights ago.
Yeah.
4 or 5 nights ago. And still, you know, my random day walking around, his little fucking thought he said was like echoing. I was like, motherfucker, he's right.
Tell us.
Where he said it is the comedian's duty to say the things that offend and to keep the culture back. It is your duty. He was almost saying it. This is, I'm leaving now, and I've been the guy that's been saying this shit, and I've taken the shit. But you comics, it's your fucking duty. And I think it is too, to podcasters and everybody else, is to say that shit, is to say the uncomfortable things that we're not allowed to say, or you're ostracized on social media for it. It keeps us all fucking honest and not taking ourselves so motherfucking serious.
As long as they own it.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think that's what he, Chappelle was doing. And, you know, he would basically say his joke and go, you can stand next to me, be next to me, I don't care. But that's still what I'm thinking.
And he was almost, and I love how he goes, he's so arrogantly saying, I'm so good.
He did say that.
Over and over, I'm so good. And what he's showing everyone is that this is how everyone is acting. I'm so good that I can. I'm so good that I can. So he's basically telling everybody, because here's the premise. If you want to be a comedian today, you have to be so good at destroying yourself. You have to be so self-loathing, almost to a point to where you hate yourself and you're kind of talking bad about your own life and what it is. It's you have to be excellent at being self-deprecating.
Yeah, you have to be okay with being the joke.
Instead, this motherfucker goes on stage and goes, I'm the shit. My jokes are so fucking funny. And I'm telling you now, I'm so fucking funny. I'm telling you, kick him in the pussy. Yeah. Which is holy shit in the social gender world right now.
Right. That in itself.
I'm going to say the shit Trump almost or did say, but even worse. And I'm going to make y'all motherfuckers laugh at the end of this shit. And I'm that good. No self-deprecating. And I'm going, wow. Wow. The fucking brilliance of that shit. Yeah, you're right, man.
I really did get lost in it, too.
It's good.
I was like, we're actually shocked when he said the punchline. I was like, I wasn't thinking about that at the beginning.
I love when comics do that. They tell you. They use the same punchline over and over again.
You know, spoiler alert. Fuck Adam right now.
Yeah.
I should have said spoiler alert before I said anything, people. I'm sorry if you hate me. You listen to this. I totally didn't say spoiler alert before the beginning, but you fucking knew it. If you were listening, I know it.
It's still funny to watch. It's still fun.
I watched the bootleg UFC next day, Sunday. I know what the fuck to look at on Facebook. So if you listen to this shit, that's on you.
Well, you know, we all knew how Titanic ended when we saw the movie, right?
Right.
It's good. There's two of them. It's good.
Right. Oh, well, we got on to Chappelle about saying shit and what you can't say.
We get sidetracked, Daisy.
Is that to pull Ginger off the mic when she starts going off?
Sometimes.
Laurel and Hardy.
You okay, baby?
She's coming.
Checking on the children. Have you checked the children?
It's 10 o'clock. Do you know where your children are?
It's creepy.
Yeah.
That joke, remember that story around the campfire? I hated that when I was a kid. Remember you get the phone call upstairs?
That's where I was going back to. What we like to do together. We go out and have a lot of campfires together. We got a fire pit in the back. We'll sit there. Throw on some Alan Watts, you know, have a couple of beers, hang out, chat, read the stars. We do that a lot.
That's awesome.
My kind of people.
Yeah.
I've been recently
doing that same thing.
Yeah.
I'm sure you guys have probably seen Adam around the fire pit.
Yeah, live one. Well, that's how you do it, man. Is you make the fire for some reason. You just want to gather around that motherfucker. And it, you know, I would say that's the only thing better and more attractive than the blue light that sucks you in of the television to sit around at night is a fire going out back. You got a fire going out back that will pull even the fucking kids off the fucking TV. You know what I mean? A simple fire out back. It'll make them be like, oh, shit, I can throw stuff in it. You know what I mean?
An instant.
I agree too, man. When I was a kid, I always played with the fire. I loved building the fire. You know, I was like, let me build the fire. I want help. Let me do it. I burned myself quite a few times too. That's how you learn not to burn yourself. But
as he takes his wig off, he's like, let me get comfortable.
That was little I never had fire. fires. And then when we started dating and stuff, he taught me how to build the proper fire. And he's like, all right, now it's your turn. You go do it. And then I'll do it. And then he's like, you can make it bigger. What are you doing?
Oh, no. Put your back into it.
Wow. You're that intense right there.
Sorry.
I am man. I have made fire. You have to do the castaway dance around the fire after you make it. Now, you pointed that out, though. When we went hunting, I make the fire. You make it out of just a little bit of start and a little kindling, get it going. You're like, oh, my man knows how to make a fire. I'm like, who the fuck have you been dating?
Well, first of all, I don't ever actually sound like
that. No, let me
like
keep
that.
My horn. Please keep my horn tooted. Hey, don't lie. Keep the lie going.
No, I was just mocking the voice you gave me.
Oh, your voice is way hot. I can't redo that.
Yeah, that's one thing that was, to me was a huge turn on. A man that takes out the trash, a man that knows how to start a fire.
Aren't you gender specifying right now?
And I can. That's what I'm looking for as
look
a man. Right?
You have disgusted Ginger. She has left the program.
She's like, fuck this bitch. What the? I'm out of here.
Her gender associated chores.
Yeah, those are things that I had to do myself.
You did.
So when I had someone that was actually wanting to do it because they didn't want me to do it, not because they were just trying to impress me, I liked it.
Well, being slightly OCD helps.
That's hard, man. Sometimes I wake up and I just start cleaning everything. I'm like, okay, I got to put this away. I got to put this. What is this? Well, how long has this been sitting here?
Yeah. You know, somebody's listening going, yep, my husband or my girlfriend, they do that too. And I'm going, think about this. You could have the opposite.
Yeah.
Where I never want to clean up anything, right?
This kind of goes down to what you were saying, though. What you were saying. Well, how do you say it when you say that your strongest is your weakest?
Your greatest strength is your greatest weakness.
Yeah. So that house cleaner, right? You know, when someone's bitching and moaning about it, you're saying, well, you could have the opposite.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the first thing to think about for you bitching about anything. I could have the opposite. You know, I could have somebody that doesn't pick up a thing, doesn't want to clean this or make sure this is together. Yeah. I could have the total opposite, you know, that does, you know what, I'm going to stick with this one.
Yeah.
Well, we grew up, a lot of the environments we were in were, like, really nasty. Like, this person we were living with at the time didn't clean shit, and it would be very nasty. So, like, when we were older and we're like, okay, we got our own place and shit, we're both like, okay, let's keep this shit clean. Because we hated that. It was, like,
disgusting.
We had, like, OCD about having a nice, clean house. It's like declutter the house, declutter the mind kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's all this shit here. We don't need all this shit. I mean, behind us right here looks pretty bad. Like, all this workout, right?
No. What? I wasn't thinking any of that. I'm just playing. You're saying?
Are you trying to covertly tell me to clean my fucking gym up?
No, you have it. Dude, my porch, we have our little porch out. What is it? The lanai? The lanai out there. I got a heavy bag hanging. It's / MMA gym / like hang out at the in the chairs with the little patio.
Loungy.
Yeah.
Meditation area.
Yeah.
It changes throughout
It's an odd mix. It's an odd mix. You're meditating next to a heavy bag. You know what I mean? It's kind of like the Bible and the rifle kind of gig. You know what I mean? It's right. It's like, I'll pray for your soul as I rip it out. I don't know. I roared for some reason.
Yeah. I was thinking you were going to do that movie theme.
Oh, Indiana Jones, Reach in the Heart, Hum Hum Shabba guy.
Yeah, that's what I was waiting for.
I've often asked, where is the Hum Hum Shabba guy from Indiana Jones?
Didn't they all
Where is he now?
Down in flames?
Not in the movie. In real life, the guy who got his heart ripped out by the dark priest in Indiana Jones, Temple of Doom, reaches in there. Right. What's he? Well, they're busy with the kids. I'm being a kid. Right. The guy who starts saying Hum Hum Shabba as I wonder if I'm saying something offensive in some other language. I don't know. Yeah. But I should look into that. Where's that guy now?
Yeah, that was quite a long time ago. So might be no longer with us.
Nah. Well, his heart was ripped out. So speaking of hearts ripped out, welcome, Tim and Ginger. Hello, sir.
Welcome from the other side of planet Earth.
Welcome. Hello, child.
Oh, look, he's no longer all over it.
Oh, he's being look at he's all shy. Settled down. Look, I wonder, what did you do, Mom? Yeah, went off camera for a minute. Now I got this.
She broke a sweat.
Yeah, I got this astute young child. Look at him, like a young man, very still and smiling, like a good young man. Earlier on the podcast, he's doing acrobatic. Mom was off camera committing assault. Yeah. I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. Where'd you get that shirt? I can't read the shirt. What's that say?
It says right there. I got it when I was in Minneapolis this year. I'm asking where he got that shirt.
It's a running joke.
That's my running joke.
I have to put up with this.
They'll go like live or something. I'll be at work. And that's how we kind of use the live thing. That's what I've started to use my phone for. So I'll just throw the live up there so they can watch me at work and I can talk to them and stuff all day long. And they'll be up there and I'll be like, hey, man, what's going on? Where'd you get that's a really nice shirt. Where'd you get that? He's always like, oh, yeah, here we go.
So you also, we talked last time on the phone, Tim, about what you were doing in the backyard with the growing of the vegetables, had your own food.
Man, we haven't even gotten on those topics and stuff yet.
Yeah, well, that's because we're cool like that, man. We go with the flow. That's
something that we like to do together, yeah. We do like some urban gardening, and we've been doing it for a couple of years. We've been living in this house for the past 3 years. Somebody was nice enough to let us rent this space from them, and they let us pretty much do whatever we want. So we built a pretty big garden in the back there. She runs most of it. She tells me what to do. She knows a hell of a lot more about farming than I do. You know? In a lot of ways. I'm more like, let's build it. You know, tell me what to do. You know what I mean? I'm more of the functional patterns guy, like the physical training, like, all right, let's do that. Mm-hmm. She's like, she's got the green thumb, I guess you'd say.
Doing a lot better. Like, at first it wasn't so good.
The cactuses are starting to stay alive.
Yeah, you're doing a really good job, Tim. Remember, you only have to water this every 6 months.
Right. So I think we're watering and overkilling our plant on the inside. So I'm not going to speak anything right now.
Oh yeah, that was our first experience. I'm looking at this plant and there's a couple yellow leaves going. I'm like, wow, babe, have you been watering the plant?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah?
So we were both watering the plant, so it's drowning in there. So, but yeah, we're going to have to designate that.
It's been overloved.
Yeah. you do things with the kids and stuff, too.
Yeah, well, what we have is the vegetables. We even have fruits, and then we have not grains yet, but we had like 70 mini pumpkins this year, and we did really good with that.
Oh, cool.
Everything, and I have a whole bunch of herbs, and the kids help me pick them, and then we dry them out and we can them. And they help me if we make like pumpkin pie or pickles or anything from the garden. I have kids stew. They help me pick it, clean it, cut it, make it.
Looking to expand more and more, figure out how we can like build, you know, on small spaces. I like the idea of vertical gardening and stuff. So I'm trying to figure out how I can like build contraptions and whatnot. But we might be moving out of this place right now, so I stopped kind of like. Forget it. I'll figure it out later. I'm doing all this functional pattern stuff right now, and she's pregnant, so it's going to be kind of hard this year. We're going to see how that works out.
Yeah.
You gotta get started on it, right?
I didn't want to say anything, right? Because that's the one thing you don't want to get fucking wrong when you ask. But only because you're holding your hand right here.
Well, the baby keeps kicking me, and it keeps.
Well, yeah, I kept seeing the hand up here, so I'm going, I may go in for the question. But I don't know.
I kind of said something on that video on New Year's. Yeah. I was kind of like hinting at it. Did you see that video? I kind of showed it. I was like, a ginger's pregnant.
Oh, on New Year's, I was, let's just say, no longer with us after a certain time.
I think it wasn't until 5:30 or 6 a.m., so it was okay.
Well, I don't remember that. So I was no longer with us long before this moment. So, yeah, perhaps I missed it or I did see it, and, well, he forgot it.
Yeah, right now we're having number 3 here. We don't know what it is. It's.
I bet it's a human.
Oh, yes, you're right. That's definitely true. You're the one we don't know.
Yeah. That's really fun that you guys are waiting to find out. Is it just because you already have one of each, so it doesn't matter anymore?
Yeah.
Were you guys a surprise before with, or excuse me, did you guys do the same thing with the previous?
No. We knew it. Yeah, we knew Roy was going to be a boy and that Tara was going to be a girl.
Yeah, we kind of guessed before we had the ultrasound.
We had that weird feeling.
I thought you meant were you going to make them the same way. I was kind of like, did you make the third the same as the first two? I'm like,
no, but okay. I did kind of go.
All right. I didn't know. Oh, Petri dishing. All right.
So you were saying your last?
Go ahead.
Is this going to be your last? Or are you still going to have more after? Or are you going to decide after?
We're not really sure.
This will probably be our last from her. Would you like to adopt or something in the future?
Oh, God. I think, man, God, Tim, with the slow worrying, man, you get this will be the last one from her.
Yeah.
Okay.
drawing it up.
Sorry.
I see he's also went Mormon.
Oh, that's not what I meant.
Yeah. The other sister wife. She's done her duty for the first 5 years.
No more from this one.
Yes. Janelle is up next.
Wait for it. Wait, yeah. Did it finally hit Tim now? Yeah, we're not going to kick it out anymore out of this one. Yeah. We're retiring this one right here.
Just like calling it a night.
He's out. Tim has left the building, y'all. Yeah.
One of our hobbies is gardening, and he helps me do the heavy lifting and the building of the boxes or wherever we set it up, things like that.
I kind of like the idea of, like, what you say, everybody's a leader. So, you know, like, I do the things I do, and she does the things she does. So in those situations, it's kind of like, okay, you're in charge here. So do your thing. Tell me what to do. You know, and that builds that connection, too, because then it's not one person is always, okay, you're in charge. And, you know, like, what's the word? The head of the household kind of guy. What is that? Your mark, mate, mark. What do they call it?
Patriarch?
The
matriarch or patriarch or head of the household or all of these other gender-specific things that will get you in trouble on social media.
That's my first time on social media.
Rule of thumb being one of those.
So, you know, it's the same with them. I want them to understand that, you know, they're leaders too. Like, tell me what to do sometimes.
Yeah.
What's going on, you know. And we run through that. Okay, right now, you're my leader. I'm following you. What do you want me to do? You know.
That's great. Well, they can feel like they can teach you something also.
Yeah,
I think that's important to be able to know your partner's strengths, right? And rather than fight for the leadership, I don't think it's disrespectful in any way. I see some people try to earn it like you give it up, but I think it's smart to go, hey, look, this is, and not laziness either, right? To where the guy or girl or even
guy. So much better.
Right. You do it so much better than me. I don't know how to clean a window. Like, get the fuck out of here. You know what I mean? You can close. Sorry with the little ones. Get the heck out of here. You can scream. You can wash a window. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So not that way, but the idea where you really recognize your partner's strengths and have the humility to go, it functions better if I'm just the first mate right now.
Right.
You know? Yeah, that takes some humility to do so. That's it. So has that been a key ingredient in keeping, you know, the relationship strong?
Yeah.
Gender?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Because, I mean, she's also the homeschool teacher, too. And I throw things in there, and I help out as well, but obviously she's doing a lot of that, so she's the leader in that realm as well. So she's got a lot.
Daddy, I can see your shirt.
Yeah.
And we can see you. How are you, Tara?
Apparently not very good.
How good are you?
Because she just died.
Not good.
Not good. Yeah, she's been a little sick this week.
Yeah.
Under the weather will get you for sure. The holidays will do that to you, you know?
Yeah, we run around a lot of people, and then they had an art camp class kind of thing this week, so they were out doing some stuff in the public places.
Yeah.
With the peoples.
Oh, they let you out there sometimes. That's one of my favorite things to tell Patricia is they let her out on Thursdays and I take her out of the asylum on the weekends.
Yeah, I feel privileged.
Yeah, you get me on good ones, though. I got to say, somebody's actually, I think she's a little sharper and quicker than me. Where we mess up, we take a cash register or a cash register lady or guy working or waiter, waitress, right? And she'll put me on a spot with something funny and just say something random. And I'm like, oh, shit.
Okay, and he has to follow through.
I got
to
follow through with some comeback or on the spot of like, oh, yeah, that's what's true. That's what we're doing. Yeah. Just be random.
We went to dinner one night and we really actually liked the food, but we wanted to be able to actually express it to the chef. So we decided to tell the waiter, or I decided to, and then Adam decided to go with it pretty quickly that we were food critics. And he looks at Adam like, oh, yeah, tell us about it. And Adam looks at me like, oh, yeah, we just moved here from so-and-so. So he really stepped in.
You trying to go for a free meal or something?
No. We just wanted to actually talk to the chef, and it was so good. It's rarity that I eat that kind of food. I don't eat Italian food like that.
Yeah.
And so I hadn't had pasta in a long time, and we just went for it. And holy shit, it was delicious. So I'm like, I have to tell this chef, you know, but this is delicious, man. And sure enough, I was saying that. The waiter walks up, says, yeah, how was it? And she goes, hey, it was great. We're food critics from such and such. And da-da-da, waiter looks at me. I'm like, yeah. And we drove up from that. I'd just like to shake the chef's hand. So would you, and is he back there? And of course, I have to say this, but he says, yeah, it's Jose can't come out right now at the Italian family restaurant. And I was like, well, he should, because that shit was delicious.
It's got more orders to make, man.
Oh, he was killing it, man. But yeah, so the ability to play around with each other like that, I think, and go with whatever the joke is. And I forgive the pun or the saying here, and forgive the last one probably too to somebody. But we've been watching The Sopranos over again, so I'm back to my velour suits and saying the phrase "breaking balls," but we break them together. And you guys seem to be able to mess with each other like that and just poke at each other's buttons, you know. And how important has that been in you all surviving this long and thriving, really?
Oh, very, very important.
Not to get too offended by anything that he says, you know.
I like to talk shit.
You can see my arms.
Yes, of course you can.
Barely. I can't even see my face.
Especially like,
just for fun.
If we were to get into an argument and if he was saying he didn't like something that I was doing or how I was acting or anything like that, and just not assume that it was all him, not me, and being able to accept that I have my own flaws and then work on them.
Same for me?
Yeah.
The good thing is you guys are actually voicing it to each other.
Huh?
Your timing of voicing it to each other, I think, is what keeps it alive. You know, you voice it when it's happening as opposed to waiting for it to build up. That's what it sounds like.
Let's talk about it, you know.
And then we'll make fun of it.
A lot of times it just becomes a joke later.
That's what you have to be willing to do, is to be able to joke if you do make a mistake or someone kind of pick at you, even though it kind of hurt your feelings the first time. Then you realize that, hey, it was a joke or whatever.
Yeah. I think it's who you're with. I had to go back, Ginger and Tim, I had a couple questions actually about, you know, growing your own food and what the cost comparative versus time is versus how much you have to grow to feed. You have a family of four there. Walk me through kind of some of the details, since Ginger does all the work. I'm kidding, Tim. You know, what's it really like, cost analysis versus the time you put in? How much time do you have to really tend to the gardening versus the food that you get back, the cost savings, et cetera? Can you walk me through some of those?
Do you want to say anything?
I do. I'll jump in. Go ahead.
Well, to start off, I do homeschool them. So, like, during the summertime, in the spring and the fall, I have at least 45 minutes where they spend time in the nature outside. And then they help me pick the weeds, or they help me do whatever I need to do to maintain the garden.
I just see myself moving the same way. Like,
yeah, well, it's
a second after. No, it's like a second after.
It's called a delay.
He's like, right after I do it.
But we really don't have to we don't use any type of chemicals in our garden, and we ended up turning our front yard into a pollinator habitat.
Come bug.
And they helped me do all that too. And it doesn't take that much time if you kind of just.
Well, we walk through that. You pollinated habitat. Walk us through what that is.
Well, it's.
Hit Tim's out. He's like, oh no, Adam already said that shit. I'm out.
You started it.
Well, what we did was we first originally started researching different types of plants. And we try here to make sure that we're making a good impact on the environment, trying to.
Restore.
Yeah, because a lot of people around us are constantly putting chemicals. You don't see any type of bees or anything around us. So
yeah, we've actually changed the environment over here pretty noticeably, even since we first moved in. The first year there weren't that many bees and whatnot, and just throwing in butterflies and caterpillars and all that, and just throwing those plants down, man, it changed a hell of a lot.
So we learned about
it. They come in, and they start. I'm like, where did they come from? They're here. They came.
So we learned, we learned about different types of plants, where to put them, which ones do which.
Yeah, like the co-planting stuff, things that work together, where they work together.
Like if we don't want ants, we put a whole bunch of mint everywhere.
Yeah, we got.
And the bees love the mint.
What
we planted too was like edible things too, like echinacea and mint and things like that that we harvest and then we turn into cheese and things like that.
Like and we got carrots too.
Yeah, we grew carrots.
One of the carrots this year had like two carrots growing out of it, so it looked like it had two little arms. Like,
well, that's one of the things that we would grow. We put that in our green shake, the ones that we make daily. We eat. So there's things like broccoli and carrots, those kind of things. But keep going. I'm learning a lot already about bees and everything else. So please proceed the three of you actually.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, we work as one. It's kind of like one voice.
There's so much to say. I don't even know where to like begin. It's kind of but. We started off with just common vegetables, just like kale, carrots, lettuce, and tomatoes. And then over the years, we've expanded. We've got corn, pumpkins. I have a whole little patch just of fruit. And then itself, we've got raspberries, and blueberries, and strawberries have saved us.
Tara eats all the blueberries.
it's hard to get the cost savings on that one. I don't see half of the food,
He's going, we do.
We have a garden to feed
them. Where'd they go?
The kids eat a lot of the fruit. But we try and mostly buy organic fruit. So that has helped us save a lot. Because like in Illinois, you could get a box of strawberries and they're like $6 for just organic. And that's expensive for a family to keep buying all that fruit because we eat a lot of fruit.
And infrastructure-wise, I built a lot of the boxes, and I go and I get the dirt myself, and the dirt's not that expensive, so I could build it above ground. So I think I spent maybe $300 or $400, but over a couple of years, and that's just to build the infrastructure, so we probably produced quite a bit, you know?
Yeah, we saved all the seeds that we've used.
We saved the seeds.
And then some of our friends' family have had gardens, and they gave us the seeds, and
We give out lots of stuff, too. Like, here, have some of this, have some of this, have some peppers,
have
some tomatoes. We got so much to take.
The end harvest, I guess, for pumpkins. We had a big fire, and all of our friends came over, and we handed out pumpkins, because, I mean, it was just a nice thing. We don't need 70 of them.
Yeah, I don't need 70 pumpkins.
Hey, in Halloween, that $19 pumpkin or whatever the kids want to carve, or you know, the Publix is charging for that big old thing, right? I mean, you guys give them out to the community. I think once people realize and see something like that in their own community, their own neighbor, of that can happen, I think it honestly makes people start to feel like, hey, maybe I could do that, you know, because a lot of people think buying organic is way too expensive. But really, if you level it out with the amount of food you're buying and how much shit you actually buy, you actually spend probably less money if you buy better food for you. But
I think
passing out like that, that's kind of what is a tradition in my family is the Lowry, you know, men would pass out the fish that we speared or caught or the lobster that we got from our take that year, passing out venison, et cetera. You just kind of did that. You went to friends' house, and that would make them curious about hunting or diving or fishing or something. And when you're doing that with the vegetables, I think you make somebody think, hey, man, my neighbor Ginger and Tim, they grew this. You know, how long does that take? And Tim, you know, last time we talked, you were talking about how you were bringing that knowledge to people at your work, you know, around your community, et cetera.
Yeah, I'm always talking about what's going on here, trying to get people fired up, but don't take too quickly, I guess. Because the neighbors, I think our neighbors think we're absolutely insane, because I'll be walking around in my shorts in the winter, you know.
We spend a lot of time outside, too.
We spend a lot of time outside in just our shorts.
You guys are the neighborhood entertainment where they're they're wearing shorts. It's 30 below. What are they doing?
There they go again, walking around in their shorts. Those weird people.
You guys are the burbs.
Yeah. Yeah, we haven't got too many neighbors get too excited about it and want to, you know, see or participate.
Yeah, not our neighbors.
No. We got these people right here. All they do is keep spraying chemicals. These people right next to us made a garden because they saw us making a garden. And then they planted like two things and then they left it there and we never saw them tending to it because we're out there all the time. But the guy goes out.
McDonald's is too easy for them.
The woman next door was going, they do stuff. Why aren't you doing it? Or the male is going, she does stuff. Why aren't you doing it? Ooh. So then the other one goes out there and goes, I can do it just like she did. And she'll get it started. Yep. You know what I mean? Maybe it was one of those things of them going, well, they're living. Why can't we?
I would not doubt that at all, man, that you guys are out there playing the... Well, I was going to say something similar, but not to the he said, she said, like you said.
Sorry.
I think you were right on point. But my thought was, you know, man, as you were talking, how could someone get pissed? And I thought, because what you're doing out there, Tim and Ginger, and showing the kids... you're not inside, you're outside, you're interacting as a family under the sun or in the firelight, you're growing food together. What it does is make people's beliefs of the life that they've chosen of daytime television and takeout as some sort of life set up for them. And when you see that, if the response is not well, it's really going, hey, you're making me question how I've chosen to live my life lately or most of my life.
And they're like, what's going on over at that house?
But we've always, like if I make something, like example, we had a whole bunch of cucumbers and we made some pickles. I made a whole bunch of different styles or types. And we handed them out to people from his work and everybody seemed to enjoy it. And they're like, oh, let's get more of those pickles next year. And I was like, come over here and I'll show you how to do it. You know? But we'll see how that goes.
So all in all, Tim, you spend a couple $100 getting, you know, this garden set up, right?
Yeah, and I didn't have that much money. You know, I just budgeting and just working with what I had and using my tools. A lot of times I didn't even have the right freaking tools. I just made it work.
So,
well, with him being the driver, he's able to find like free firewood pallets and things like
that's
that.
That's another thing. I'm driving around out there all day, not that far away. So if I'm seeing some good stuff, we'll go out in there and grab it. Oh, there's a pile of wood. Grab the van. Let's get it.
We were doing that just the other day.
They'll bring the van out, and I'll just sit there and load it up.
So we kind of do that, too. Yeah.
So you're criminals together. I got you. I'm kidding. We did that for New Year's. What was funny is I find it interesting when firewood sells out in Florida, when I'm looking around oak and pine all over the place, and I'm like, what? Fire sold out? What do you mean? And so we're doing the same, snatching up pallets, coming back to burn it, start another fire out back, man. You know, just kind of a cost analysis for a lot of people, beyond the cost analysis, I should say, is what was, if you would, walk me through some of your apprehensions about starting the garden and versus what you've learned from it now and how that may help someone who may be apprehensive about starting it, making whether it's worth it versus the time they have to put in and the money they save or et cetera. You know, if you would kind of lay a baseline of what that's like for somebody and maybe what you'd say to them.
Well, we started off small, just with like little containers on a porch in a condo. And over time, we've learned how to do things, just reading
here
and there.
We really wanted to do it. We didn't have any apprehension. That was like that was a goal. Like, we're doing this.
Yeah.
I want to know how to, I want to know how to produce food. I want to know how to do this. I want, you know, teach me. What am I learning from you? Yeah. No, tell me what to do. I'm doing it.
Has it become therapeutic over the years?
Very. Oh, I love being out there. I love it. I love sitting out there. I will just sit by that bush with all the bees buzzing by the mint bush. Oh, my God. It's insane.
It looks kind of funny.
I've never even seen this. I thought they would go for the flowers. They're going for the mint. I'm like, why are there so many bees in the freaking mint?
Well, we planted a catnip, too, and ended up turning into a bush, and we have, like, I don't know, at least 12 different cats.
Sometimes I just like to sit out there in the garden and just, like, take it all in and just watch the bugs. And just, of course, that's therapeutic. You've got your nature right there. Outside.
The gardening part, though, to me, it would be like if when I get to see something grow that I actually helped, you know, that to me would be the probably the most therapeutic for me to see.
That's great for kids too, to see a little like they're growing. They don't really notice that they're growing because they happen so fast they forget it even happened. They're like, oh, like, do you remember when you were four?
No.
But, you know, you throw it on a plant, it grows in one summer, and you see that thing go from just this little seed to the fruit that you get to have.
Right.
Well, you know, sorry, Ginger, go ahead.
I was just going to say, if you just research a little bit, and a lot of it is pretty easy, like even eggshells from your eggs you can put into your soil to help compost, and just little things like that over time, it you just like learn little tricks. And it makes it a lot easier.
And we're still learning too, like learning how to do the composting and all that, and saving our stuff.
Yeah.
It's a process.
You know what I can't stop. Mm-hmm. Fucking smiling about
what?
That young man Roy has been so intrigued, and we have been talking about work, gardening, plants, bees, and I have watched this young man give thumbs up, shake his head, what we've learned, what we know, the knowledge that he now knows about how to make his own food if it's necessary to grow it, the interaction and the relationship between nature, the air he's breathing and the plants around that, and the time he's had with, you know, mom and dad and sister around that. Most young men his age either would be passed out like the lovely Tara or have ran away. And yet the deeper we've gotten to talking about plants and outside and animals and insects and this interaction, I've watched that young man, Roy, I've watched you, get more intrigued and smile and, well, enthusiastic and excited to learn stuff and be outside. And, well, Roy, I appreciate you giving me hope, son. Thank you. I appreciate that. And the Drugan family actually giving me some hope here about the future of families
agree.
And what to do and how to really do it and not to be sucked into the machine.
Yeah. Now all your neighbors are going to be going, great. One more thing I have to try to live up to. The Drugans.
Don't make it like that.
Hey, Roy, can I ask you a question, buddy?
What?
What's your favorite part about the gardening out back? What is your favorite? What do you look forward to when it's time or being out there? What is your favorite part about the gardening?
Picking the fruits.
Picking the fruits? What do you think about when you're either eating that fruit or when you're waiting for it to grow or when you're planting it maybe even and it's not even grown yet? What are you thinking?
Because, oh my God,
Daddy. That's
what he's
trying to get off.
Get back on track. Don't listen to
Squirrel. So what are you thinking about though when you're out there and the plants are either coming or the seed you just put in is maybe some strawberry you're gonna taste and well, Roy, do you know how long does it take a strawberry to grow after you plant it? I don't know. I don't. That's why I'm asking you. I have no idea.
I don't know.
No,
it's like until
Ginger.
It turns red.
I think she knows.
Yeah, how long?
It depends.
They're just popping up out there, man.
Yeah, well, it started off with about at least 2 months when we first started, but now it takes about like maybe a month and a half. When it depends on the weather.
Because they're in there.
Yeah. But when we had like.
But when you first plant them, they don't come in right away. I don't think we got too many in the first year. The second year, we got quite a few more.
Roy, Have you ever been stung by a bee?
Like once.
Have you?
Oh. Tell your.
Yeah, like once in Michigan.
So not even, see, I love that, because right now, I promise you, there'll be an email we get from some mom that you guys brought in bees into your location of the house and how unsafe, and the young man goes, yeah, but totally not in this state at all. Yeah, not even in where we live now is when I first got bit. See, that's where mothers, fathers, wake up, you know, put them in the dirt, put them in harm's way, you know, get that organism stuff on them, man. It helps them not be sick and in the being out in nature. But Roy, I'm sorry, but I never let you finish, buddy, of asking you, you know, what, you know, the favorite part about picking the fruit, but what do you think about when you're out there, man? Do you look forward to it? Is it something or a place you like to be? Do you like hanging out with dad, mom, and sister out there? What's the stuff you like most and think about?
Helping me carry those big bags of dirt.
What is it?
I like helping mommy make, like, stuff with the fruit.
Oh, you like to think about what it's going to turn into once you put it all together.
Cook and learn how to cook and whatnot too, like how to prepare things, and so he can cook for himself and whatnot. That's something I used to do when I was a kid. I wake up, feed myself in the morning, you know.
That's imperative, right? So many parents are worried about teaching so many things, and you forget about, hey, you may want to teach your kid how to make him or her its own food.
Yeah.
Right. So because they're children, it can feed itself. Right. So I think this is an important thing to teach our children is
not
how to
for making food or something. But like if he wakes up before us or something, we need to sleep in because we were up later, you know, whatever. Yeah,
being self-efficient.
Yeah. You know, make a few things. I'll grab some stuff and take care of yourself. You know that you're in charge of yourself.
Well, just having the garden and the food is so fresh. It tastes better. Like, just going walking outside to get cilantro or like salsa, or just putting in your eggs, you can like taste the difference.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's fresh.
He's licking his chops.
Well, the information being passed, I think, is beautiful. And I'm going to be, well, we will be picking, all three of your brains, and maybe Tara's when she wakes up another time, about more information to doing it, because we've contemplated doing this out back. We got a little room to do so, and you all seem to have it together. And, hey, Roy, how old are you, young man?
Seven? Eight.
So 7 3/4.
Sweet, yeah, definitely. Past 7.5.
All right, so 7 3/4 is more than a half, buddy. So you're 7 3/4. Mm-hmm. You are Tara would be younger, right? So in the unborn that would come in, this would be the youngest. But for a fully interactive podcast guest, Roy, you are the youngest interactive podcast guest to be asked a question and have answered a question on the Cognitive Rampage podcast. And it didn't include video games, iPads, or social media.
Yeah.
And I think that probably is going to be a record that may stand for a long time.
Movies, nothing. It was just about nature, what the parents are teaching, what you guys are bringing. To me, everything that you guys are doing is everything people talk about, what they wish they could do if they had time, if they lived in the right area, if they didn't have so many kids, if they had more money. You guys are fitting all those situations and you're doing it.
Right.
You guys are doing shit. That's what Adam and I say.
Yeah, we have an inside joke, right? When we go do something, right? She'll look at me and be like, we just did some shit. And we just laugh because, like, yeah, we know. It's serious. Like, yeah. We did a lot of stuff, but we don't have to explain it. We just did some shit.
So you guys are doing shit.
Yeah, that's right.
We're doers, man.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, I think it's important because, you know, Roy, and I hope you're listening, man, as I pat your mom and dad on the back, that so many families have lost touch due to technology, due to jobs, and due to time. Like you said, I think that's huge what you said about the time. And cat's asses.
Yes.
That's hilarious. If you are watching the podcast, it's better.
Yeah.
And if you're listening to this podcast, find it on YouTube and look up the moment I said that. And their cat decided to moon us all.
While you're talking, take a look at this.
They said they like cats. Yes.
Down here. I have the other one here.
Sorry about that. Linda
Naki. I have been mooned by a cat. mid rampage.
How HD was that for you?
That was rather interactive.
Yes, it was.
I think virtual. That one needs the box. Turtle head.
Dirty love.
But I mean it from I think even the cat was like, would you quit with this bullshit? It was like, just stop. But I think it's important because the interactive under the sun is something rarely seen unless it's tickets to a ball game or some organized social construct to derive money from you, sold you that it was an experience. Right. And literally out back with some burning wood and some rows of food creates an interaction, I think, you know, so many families really miss, like you said.
Absolutely. It's what everybody wants to get back to is where you're at.
Yeah. And if people knew how to garden and use space efficiently and whatnot, they'd have that. And they'd have more to give to their neighbor. And then we would have this abundance. But yeah. I don't know how to get people to get involved, you know, because even our neighbors who see us doing it, they're just like, yeah, we made a little garden here. And we don't really take care of it.
Priorities, too, though, since some people don't really.
Yeah, right. But we don't do those types of things. We don't go to a ball game. We don't take the time to watch sports. I'm more of like, I'm a doer. I don't like watching stuff. I don't want to watch a football game. I'll play football. You want to go play football? Let's go play football. You want to play baseball? You want to play basketball? All right, let's go do it. I'm not going to sit here and watch that guy do it. Maybe once in a while. I went to a baseball game last year with my mom because she just really wanted me to. And I'm like, all right, I'm coming.
I got super bored.
Attaboy. Me too.
Grandma, I watch this.
That's so funny.
Oh, I don't mean grandma. I meant with baseball.
Oh, I thought he was saying to his story. My kids would do that sometimes. They would go when their sibling would be talking or something. I thought he just now said, I got super bored.
I do that all the time. I'll pretend to fall asleep or go, no, I
Roy has ideas. Roy is like, next time.
One thing I would do is I would say to my kids, I'd go, what'd you say? I really want to hear what you have to say. And I would turn the music up really loud while they're talking. And then they look at me like, Mom. And then, of course, I would turn down. I'm just kidding. Tell me this story. He's you told me that now. No,
I was going to say something, but we got lost on stuff. Like we were flying past things. I'm like, I don't know, man. We keep going.
You were talking about, you know, I think Ginger was led us into changing people's priorities about what's important. Oh, yeah. and watching a sporting event versus doing something, right? Talking about doing something versus actually or
he
watching.
He went
doing
to the
something.
Ball game with his.
Right. Yeah. And that's not to say that we don't do things that could be considered, you know, we're using technology or, you know, wasting time or whatever. I like to play video games still. You know, I have my own philosophies on that. I think it's we play games that we can play together, or we'll play puzzle games, you know, things like that, things that challenge him, things that, you know, and or competitively. So I'll be sitting there playing with him and I'll give him just enough where I'm challenging him. And then he'll start beating me. And I'm like, but I'm a little bit better than that, buddy, so you don't have to keep going.
See, I think that is probably one of the pros actually about, as far as pros and cons about watching sports. Like when I watch the fighting, when I watch the videos of you fighting, you know, or the whatever, I do learn stuff as well. You know, you're saying you can't take the time. That's usually the time that I do take the time to do it because we don't really watch sports either. But when we do, it's more like.
If we watch anything, we're watching UFC or some sort of mixed martial arts. If we watch anything.
Recently, I've just been watching Mr. Adam here. I've just been watching.
Alrighty,
I'm
sorry.
Too much.
No, I could. I honestly, you all should literally, honestly, Tim. We talk later, maybe off this, man. But I really like what you all are doing and the way it interacts. I love how it makes your neighbors uncomfortable. I think that's what I love most. That's the part I'm going. Wait, tell me more. So people are pissed at you for this.
But so here's the thing. I was doing the cold stuff. I was doing all that shit. But now I'm out there sprinting like a psychopath. Like slinging functional pattern style up and down the street.
So now you're playing with
my club around.
Do they call you Doc?
You're out there playing
there's
with your
no
instruments,
roads.
Flying kites in the storm.
Barefoot sprinting up and down lawns and shit. Like, do you see how fast that guy's running?
Well, I do say in the book, right, you have to be willing to get a little crazy to get a little sane.
Yeah.
And I think it's necessary. And I think if it makes people uncomfortable and question their own lives, Tim, well, then, sir, live it louder.
Oh, yeah. Here we are.
But you really should, man. I've been sitting here quite entertained, even with Mr. Roy. I am just literally just at the screen going, when you all stop talking, I'm like, oh shit, I gotta talk. Stuff. Tim? Like that's really what I'm at. I'm so like maybe start filming this stuff. You know what I mean? You got a camera guy and Roy, film it. Like maybe you watch, you know, when people see some documentary, the effects of Roy's life and Tara's lives and your relationship even, right? How it may grow through growing, literally, like this, forgive the pun.
I think that it would actually provide a lot of hope for people that were doubting that that would work.
Yeah.
Your lifestyle, what you guys are doing, the marriage, the young marriage, the kids, all those things that people might doubt because of statistics. I think it would be a good vision for them to see that it still works. It does happen. Yeah. There are ways.
Yeah, a lot of the things that we do aren't very conventional, I guess you could say. Well, I mean, we
didn't... conventional things, but
yeah, I don't
we're
know.
Doing them in an unconventional place.
because
that's their conventional. Growing food, that's pretty conventional.
I mean,
right. But you're right, both of you. Isn't that funny? She's like, you're right on.
We homeschool our kids. We've been in our relationship for so long. So a lot of things,
yeah.
People kind of question what we do, but we just keep doing it and prove them wrong, I guess. I don't know.
I can't tell you how many times I've been told, that's not going to work. No. Okay.
Well, I think to take us out then on the podcast is a good place to start is, you know, what did they tell Tim and the Ginger and the Roy and the Tara and all the Drugans about what wouldn't work, what can't work, and what you must do as opposed to what you do? One, what would you tell the naysayers? And then end it a little more nicely by what would you tell that family that is on the cusp of maybe doing the gardening, finding different ways, everything we've talked about tonight, what would be, what say you to them?
Just do it, man. Just do it. Just try it out. See how it
Nike
goes.
Again. Nike again.
Even if it doesn't work out, you're going to learn something. Even if that food doesn't grow, you're going to learn, okay, well, I don't do it that way. Try again.
Try different ways. Do little steps if you have to. Like, that's what we did. We researched and then slowly over time
we
got better at what we're doing. So
we were growing stuff out on the porch. And
now we have them.
Just keep ramping it up. Try a little more. See how you can expand. Find ways to be efficient about it. It's not as much work as you think it is if you have kids to clean up all of the weeds and whatnot. So just have a couple of kids.
Right. They end up serving so many purposes, don't they? I'll tell you what, you guys, just from, and especially Roy, I sit here and I'm watching your energy and it makes me go, why in the heck am I complaining about one single thing? Think about it. Why am I complaining about one thing in life when there's something like that that is able to be taught, to be shown things a new way, where you think so many people are just hopeless and thinking that, what am I going to do in this world because I don't have all these things? Instead, you're talking about the things that you do have, the things that you can make. Focus more on those things, and I think everybody can be inspired by your family.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Good try.
You guys are doing shit.
We're doing shit. We do stuff.
Don't
say that word.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, doing stuff.
You're doing stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, Roy, can I ask you a question and maybe you take us out of the show here?
Okay.
All right. What would you tell another 7-year-old or a 7 3/4-year-old kid who doesn't like to garden, who doesn't like to be outside and rather play, just be inside the whole time and not be outside? What would you say to that kid maybe to encourage them to do something else?
Yeah. What are you saying? Jake, I don't know about Sam.
We'll make it a little easier. If you had to say something to somebody that hasn't gardened before, what would you tell somebody that hasn't experienced being out in a garden and growing their own food before? think that's what he's probably saying, because truthfully, Roy's going, what do you think we've been talking about here the last hour, man? I've told you this entire time, and now you ask me to sum up the entire interview I just gave you.
It's like, my behavior should sum it up.
Right. He's like, are you kidding? I just answered you. It was fun. It was awesome. We pick fruit. We grow our own. We make our own, and you ask me the same question. Frankly, I would honestly tell you that the hostess does not have the mostest with this question, because I would say that the curiosity of the young mind would win in this philosophical debate, because frankly, we just did an hour and a half interview about what you do, is it fun, what do you like best, and then I go, so, to put you on the spot of a camera you've never been on before, 7-year-old, sum up everything that we just talked about for an hour.
He's a little tired.
Yeah, don't worry about that, Roy, because you have answered that question for the last hour and a half, sir, and the host himself asked a poor question, trying to be slick and creative, so I'll eat my own foot with that one. That's on me.
He's still on the... He's like, what?
Like, what, are we picking strawberries yet, or what?
Are you awake
yet? It's like...
Yeah, so we've kept the kids up, so... any last words? So you get out there, something maybe you wanted to say, because Tim, we've talked before, podcast remorse happens. You go, oh, I meant to say or talk about.